Welcome to the ChatGPT Report. I'm your host, Ryan, and we have a very special guest with us today. His name is Paul Truax, and he is the CEO and founder of Cognify, which develops course-specific models for higher education and is aimed at bringing education into the age of AI. Welcome to Tutoring Reimagined.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Paul, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ryan. I will say I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I think it's very informative. So happy to be playing a part in it and talking about AI and education. I think it's an important topic. And yeah, again, thank you for having me.
Love it. And like I said, we couldn't have gotten in contact with you earlier because this was perfect timing because we haven't really heard a lot about AI and education semi-recently. So I'm glad we're having this. Now, we try to keep these interviews within 20 minutes, so let's get right to it. So, Paul, we hear a lot about colleges saying you can't use AI in higher ed, but it seems like Cognify wants to partner with higher ed and AI to create a sort of hybrid student body. Am I correct in this assumption, and how are you going about doing this?
So you're totally correct. And I think that, you know, when these base foundational models became available in the way that we know it, it was about a year ago with, you know, obviously like OpenAI's ChatGPT-3. So at that point, people were kind of saying, hey, you know what, AI shouldn't play a role in higher education because it can be used as a cheating tool, et cetera. So that was the conversation that was happening. But that was about a year to 6 months ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've been to a few education conferences in the past couple months, and I will say that, you know, that statement has largely gone away. And the reason why is because AI has accelerated so rapidly and has so much more knowledge than it did a year ago, that the question really isn't, you know, should AI be in education? It's more of how should AI be in education? So that's the conversation that people are currently having. And that's something that Cognify is hoping to solve. I mean, right now you have, you know, a lot of these, you know, foundational models like OpenAI's GPT-4, Anthropic's Claude 3, that are very, very good. They're very solid at answering a lot of different questions about a lot of different things. But the problem, Ryan, is that I feel like they don't have any premonitions that the person using the model is a student. So mm-hmm. if they get asked, hey, you know what, solve this, it will solve that problem, no questions asked. So that could kind of be that could kind of be a cheating tool, if I'm being honest. So there needs to be this custom AI model that kind of guides students towards answers instead of answering it for them, but also is able to answer very class-specific questions, you know, like summaries on chapters. It's able to give exam reviews that look just like what can be expected on the next exam of the course. So I think that having that type of class-specific model is the right approach. And, you know, right now you have great professors who are amazing at lecture and office hours. You have human tutors who are amazing at exam reviews and one-on-one sessions. But now with our model, you'll be able to have a 24/7 assistant per student that is also an expert in the course and is not a cheating tool. So I think that's exactly how AI should be in education. Because at this point, we all know it's going to be in every sector of our lives, and that's widely known for sure.
Absolutely. And I like what you said there. You said, how is AI going to help the students? Because we know it's going to be around here. So we have to figure out how is this going to be integrated into their life. And that kind of goes into my next question then here. You know, do you think AI is helping the students or the educators more right now?
Yeah. Okay. So definitely the students. And honestly, it should be. It should be the students because, you know, in education, that's the main focus. It's the main focus is to train the next generation of us, the next generation of doers. So I think right now students are definitely benefiting more. But with that said, again, I think there's some areas of improvement, right? Because on the student facing side, it is kind of the Wild West. If you do ask these models a question, it will give you an answer when it should really be more inquisitive. So our AI is being trained to be more inquisitive and to kind of guide the students, like I said before. But also I think on the educator front, there's a lot of improvement that needs to be made. I mean, educators themselves are using AI to answer a lot of different things, no question about it. But one extra thing that we want to develop and that we are developing is a professor dashboard to where you're able to actually see the types of questions students are asking, the topics that they're asking. So, you know, for an accounting class, you can see, okay, most students are asking about bond payables or accounts receivable, et cetera. Professors need intel like that. With these current foundational models, they don't have that intel. They don't have that control. But with new developments in educational AI, you're able to ideally have a professor dashboard, see what students are asking in real time. So you're able to, for the first time ever, tailor your class dynamically and in real time. And that's a huge benefit to educators. So in short, students are benefiting more and they always should. But educators, you know, there's going to be a lot of improvement on the horizon, a lot of improvement.
Yeah, and I like how you said that. It's almost like running a data analysis on your questions. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, year one, they always talk about teachers. My wife's a teacher, so I can relate to this. But it's, you know, year one, it's coming up with all this stuff, trying to figure it out. And then every year she's a math teacher in particular. Every year is kind of figuring out, well, what are the kids going to ask about this topic that I've seen before? And if you're able to run a data analysis on, hey, the kids typically ask questions on this specific topic, you could spend more time on it or catch it before the questions are even answered or even asked, excuse me. And so I think that's a very good point. And I think the educators, like you said, I think the students are obviously benefiting from AI currently, but I think the educators, once they really get on board and start really using it, I think it's going to accelerate just learning even more to the students from the educators. So that's a very good analysis there. And it even brings me back to, we had an interview with a doctor and he said it gives the doctors more time to work on the stuff that they need to be working on and relating with the patients and understanding what's going on. And AI is going to help with that. And I think that's what we're getting to with hopefully educators, where it's, hey, the mundane stuff you can leave to the side, let the computers handle, you handle the relationship with a student and really tailor it to each individual student. So I think that's fantastic.
Now, 1,000%.
Yeah. Sure. Now, what's the most surprising or unexpected feedback you've received about Cognify from students or educators, just in general?
Yeah, I think, it's been wild. So I think that, you know, the most surprising feedback that we've gotten is kind of how it was very surprising how people really gravitated towards the models that we're developing, even though they're like in a draft phase right now. I mean, Cognify, we have so much room to grow and so much room to improve. But I'll tell you this, I mean, when I've given some presentations to a few student orgs on campus, you know, kind of talking about our service and everything. And man, I was the first presentation we gave that was, you know, all about our AI models. It honestly turned into a pep rally, Ryan. It was absolutely crazy when students were able to see that there's a model that answers very class-specific questions and that it answers it in a lot of different subjects. I mean, I was asked, like, hey, is this just an accounting model or is it just an engineering model? And I said, no, this is for, you know, upwards of 40 to 70 different UT classes that are going to be made available in the fall. So that was great. I always knew that there would be some attraction towards this service, but I didn't know that it would be this intense, which I'm very, very happy about. Now, on the educator side, it's a little bit more, there's a little bit more skepticism, which rightfully so. I mean, mm-hmm. this technology is so new, and it's scary to people who have been in the education space, which makes total sense. It makes total sense. The best thing that we can do, and what I've told our engineering team is, we want to be a partner with the university. That's been our mission since day one. We don't want to be seen as an adversary at all. So that's why we've really developed the extra functionality of, let's have a professor dashboard. Let's have all these analytics. Because while this technology is very new and people are kind of skeptical about it on the education front, it's here to stay. And it's extremely effective, and it's only going to get better. So again, the students absolutely love it, and we're so excited about that. And now I think with the extra functionality of a professor dashboard, et cetera, we'll be able to kind of get the professors on board as well, for sure. But so far it's been great feedback.
Good, good. And I'd like the professor dashboard too, because that kind of goes into the analytics side of things, because it can really help, like I said, the professor tailor the questions are asked to the students and figure out where are we seeing hiccups here, and where are things going that we can work on. So I love that aspect of it. And
for sure. And one more thing, Ryan, real quick. I don't mean to interrupt. But one thing, I think, to go a little bit deeper. I can't believe I was about to skip over this part. But in one of the presentations we were doing, this one student came up to me. And it was so profound, like what she said. So she came up to me, she said, hey, it's kind of interesting that there's these class specific models, because I feel like, and I'm talking as if I'm her. She said, I feel like whenever I'm in class, or whenever anybody's in class, there's a phenomenon. She called it a phenomenon that, you know, you don't want to ask a question sometimes because you don't want to appear to be the fool. So you just won't ask that question in general. Yes. And that hinders your learning. And so what she said was, and I've said this in other interviews that we've done, what she said was, with AI chatbots that are very efficient at the core subject matter, you don't feel that guilt for the first time ever. So ever since humans have been a thing, you know, this feeling of, I don't want to ask this question because I don't want to be the fool, has plagued knowledge for thousands of years. But for the first time ever with AI chatbots, you don't have that guilt. And so you're able to be as inquisitive as you possibly can. And that was a beautiful analysis that this student did, and a beautiful conclusion. And that's really what is our guiding light. And it was so great hearing that from the student, for sure.
That is a great example. And I love that example too, because I feel like I was always that student. I was like, this is such a dumb question. Like, no one else is thinking this. And then when you have the guts to actually say it, you know, you have your buddy next to you going, man, I'm glad you asked that. I was thinking the same thing. And you're like, thank goodness. So I completely agree with that. I can't tell you, even in my workspace, I've worked at my company for 5-6 years, and there are some questions I'm like, I need to ask ChatGPT this real quick, because I don't want to look like a fool. And sure enough, I ask it, get a good answer. And I'm like, okay, I would never have approached someone with that, you know, because it's something I probably should have known. So that is
right.
I love that example. And I think for students, especially where they want you to ask more questions, but then you have the pressure of the students around you to be like, well, I'm smart here too, guys, but this is just a question I have. So I love that. And I think that is a fantastic example of what is coming about with this technology, especially because it, for the first time in a long time, it really is guilt-free asking questions. So very good 100%. With that. And off of that, you know, what subjects do you think Cognify does best in to help the students with, and what subjects do you feel that are the most challenging for the system to get to partner with students and educators?
We're still testing this as of right now, and I think, you know, a lot of the core classes are absolutely fantastic. Our models, you know, work very, very great on those classes. Granted, there's always some areas of improvement. But I think that where Cognify could kind of do better in is, and this is purely from an administrative standpoint, but there's some core classes that don't really change their material too much, and that's great for us. It's great for a training perspective. Mm-hmm. But then there's also classes like business law, for example, that there could be a new case tomorrow that is extremely relevant to the material that they'll include in the class and it'll be tested on. That's where we need to keep a lot of tight communications with our customers and with the universities that we're eventually going to partner with. So that is a little tough, because it takes a while to train these models, to fine tune them, and to make sure that they are operating the way that we want and the way the university wants. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I think that is is we're going to get better with that once compute power gets up, and when we're dealing with GPT-5, et cetera, the training, the lead time to take to train the model is going to go down. But I think, again, we're operating mostly in core classes, and it's been fantastic. And eventually we'll nail down our process for, you know, classes that change very, very quickly. But eventually we'll get that down as well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the ones where the laws change a lot, like math is a very, should be an easy one to go, hey, this is simple stuff. Not necessarily simple stuff, but it's stuff that's not going to change. Right. And I get that.
Right. Math is math. Right. Last time I checked. Yeah.
You would have worried me had you said, it's perfect in everything, you know, I appreciate that answer. And I think that is something that's tough to deal with. Cause again, if laws change, it's like, well, this needs to be implemented today. And it needs to know that.
Right.
So very good. And off of that, you know, there are some critics. We talked a little bit about it. Even educators at the beginning of this are still a little standoffish. But what do you say to critics who believe that higher education will be dead in 10 to 20 years with the advent of AI? I've been hearing a lot about this where people say there's no point to going into higher ed. What is your kind of argument against that more so? Or if it is an argument against that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, first of all, it's a great question. And I think that critics are right to be skeptical about the state of higher education. I mean, right now, let's be honest, it is at a very low point in it's at 36% faith in higher education was the last study that I read, which is pretty low. But I think that, you know, with higher education being dead in 10 to 20 years, I think it's a little hyperbolic. So my short answer is no, I don't think that higher education will be dead because of AI. I actually think that AI will improve higher education. And the reason why is because, you know, the reason why faith in higher ed is currently at 36% is because of largely two things, in my opinion, which is the cost. I mean, the cost has skyrocketed, let's be honest.
Yep.
And also, I feel like professors are being spread out too thin. They're being asked to do a lot of different things for a lot of different classes and do their own research on top of that. So they're definitely being spread out too thin, which eventually causes quality issues that doesn't have to do with their competence. It's just them being spread out too thin. So I think with AI in higher education, I believe that tools like the ones that we're developing are going to, one, increase the value, because increase the quality, because you have a 24/7 assistant per student, and that's achievable at scale. But also on top of that, these assistants, kind of what you mentioned before, they're able to kind of do the monotonous tasks that professors otherwise would do. So that'll lead to higher quality because it gives more time to achieve that quality. So there's that. And then also on the cost side, ideally it'll bring down costs. You don't have to invest in a lot of these things like, a much higher workforce to achieve, you know, these economies of scale or anything like that. You can just use AI models. Now, does that mean that humans are not going to be an integral part of higher education? No, that's not what we're saying at all. Humans are always going to have a critical role in higher education. But again, I think AI assistants can alleviate some of the cost and some of the quality for sure. To go a little deeper than that, I think that, you know, AI is here to stay. We're going to live in an AI world. And this species that we've created into the world is smarter than everybody. It's and it doesn't take any sick days. So now us as a society need to renegotiate what it means to be educated and what it means to have a job outside of education, outside of college. And the renegotiation from an education standpoint is, we know that outside of college, we're not going to be doing a lot of monotonous tasks. We're just not. We're going to be doing a lot of creative thinking and a lot of critical thinking. And that is why we need to know exactly why we're studying what we're studying. We can't just go through the motions anymore. We need to have a purpose, and we need to be motivated to do it. Because again, our job is going to be thinking. It's not going to be a lot of these monotonous tasks. So that's the role that I think students should kind of take in higher education. Think deeper, know what you want to do, et cetera. And then outside of education, it's going to be a lot of creative thinking. A lot of the monotonous tasks that you're going to get outside of higher education is going to be gone. So in short, I think AI is going to help from a cost and quality perspective. And then overall, from a person-to-person perspective, I think that it's more important than ever to take a walk, think about what you want to do, and know that you're going to be a thinker, not necessarily a monotonous task manager anymore. So I think that's a, I think that's more utopian than dystopian in my sense.
Yes, and I think you make a great point there too. You talked about the change of pace that college is moving towards, and I really agree with that, because I think for the past maybe 30, 40 years, maybe even 50, college has been very, hey, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I feel like we're in this stage of things are about to get shaken up incredibly, and the colleges that focus on that and understand that change are going to thrive, and the ones that, you know, don't make any moves more than likely will pass by the wayside, and that's, you know, that's the free market economy right there. So we'll see how that goes. Sure. But I agree with you on that. I think it, I like what you said there. Now, finally, because we are running out of time here, real quickly, what is something that you've created that didn't get a ton of recognition, but you really enjoyed creating?
To give a quick response to this, I think, I really love the small things, which, you know, when Cognify started off as a person-to-person interviewing platform, we've since moved beyond that. But I really enjoyed showing the brand quality through a lot of small different things, which is, you know, for example, we would always scent our packets with like eucalyptus mint. Like our exam review packets would be scented, which is a small thing, but it was a testament to the overall brand. I think that it didn't get a ton of recognition, but it was very indicative of the brand. And I think that even now that we're in an education and AI space, so we're a tech company now, there's a lot of small things that you're going to see in our interface and in our models that are little Easter eggs that I feel like people will enjoy either consciously or subconsciously, but it's very indicative of the brand. And I think that a lot of people should do that, and just show the brand quality through and through from every single detail. It may go unnoticed, but for the people that do notice it, it'll be very special to them. So that's a small thing that didn't really get a ton of recognition, but I think it's good practice.
You clearly had to have played video games as a child, just hearing Easter eggs and just, you know, and all that stuff.
Oh, so, yeah, you already know.
Yeah, exactly. I the second I hear that, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a video gamer right there. I hear you there, especially when you find something that no one else has seen and you're like, that's clever. Like, they put some thought into it. So I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Paul, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate your insight into this, especially the education and AI side. It's something that is needed to be talked about. So we will for sure have you back on in half a year, because things are changing so drastically that things aren't going to be the same as they were now as they were a year or two ago. So thank you again for coming on, Paul. Really appreciate it.
Definitely, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait for the next opportunity. And thank you so much.
Awesome. Team, thanks for listening in. We will catch you on the next show.